Right back at you on a game day. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour edition of our program. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. We'll get you to puck drop, 7 p.m. if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's right.
All right, better than the 7:30. You like 7:30?
I do.
Buy you an extra half an hour?
Yeah, kind of get home, get
grab
settled.
Grab a bite to eat?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'm not complaining, buddy. I almost died. I'm happy to have Leaf playoff hockey.
We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. We are hot. Our show is hot. You know how hot it is?
Tell me.
The good people at Starter Canada will not allow to be shown up from the likes of Craig Conroy or Don Waddell, who sent us jerseys, mm-hmm. and they're like, "We'll get something for you to hang up."
Is that not just about the prettiest jacket?
It got flipped.
Ever seen?
It got flipped.
You gotta go logo forward.
Yeah, I think you gotta go front logo, Sammy. Yeah.
That's fair. The back right? Says Toronto Maple Leafs on it too.
So. It is beautiful.
If the Leafs beat the Sens in this series, I will be wearing that the show after.
And I think Kip and I were saying maybe at the end of the year we raffle it off, auction it,
for sure.
Giveaway.
Yeah, raffle it off to me.
So our thanks to Norman Aaron over at Starter Canada.
Love it.
And buckets,
you know,
too.
Give them credit because it's a wonderful reminder of what a great time of the year it is right now to suck up to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So listen. We're at this thing for another 2 months.
Let's go.
Lots of time to send us stuff.
Send us stuff.
We'll put it up here.
Yeah,
we
are
good. Ottawa, Toronto,
we'll talk
starter
about it.
Caps.
We'll talk about it. We'll put it up.
We are good to go. In the meantime, let's get you ready for a Toronto Maple Leaf, Ottawa Senator game 3 in their series as it shifts over to the Canadian Tire Center for the first time since what, Sammy, what did you have? Game 6 in 2017.
Correct, against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And if you'll remember, that was the conference finals. And then game 7 in overtime, Chris Kunitz, double OT, shot it past Craig Anderson.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
All I remember in that series was this pass by Erik Karlsson.
That was the first round.
Went 12.
Against the Bruins.
12. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first round.
That was
Hall of Fame pass.
Still is the greatest saucer pass
head high
in the history of the game. Behind the net.
Yeah. 140 feet.
Over center ice.
Yeah.
Flat.
Flat as a pancake. Made Kirill Kaprizov look like a...
Not bad.
Yeah, tape.
A walk in the park.
Yeah.
And if you'll remember correctly, Mike Hoffman received that pass and then went one-hander
on
hand
it.
Yeah, a one-hander lander in the playoffs.
How did I see that as much as
no,
I
that should be like a top five highlight ever.
Right.
We got a real fun show here. In about half an hour, Kevin BX is going to join us. Busy guy over at Hockey Night in Canada, but promised to stop by and hang out with us for a few minutes before he gets ready for a big night. On the national program, we'll have Rob Brown, a favorite of ours, to discuss the Edmonton Oilers and how bad is it right now in Edmonton.
Oh, boy.
Can you ever count that team out?
Maybe.
And sometimes the answer is yes. I don't know if now is one. We'll talk.
We'll also sneak in Marty Turco.
Oh, yeah. Dallas.
Always fun.
Dallas up 2-1 now.
Always
Holy
fun with
smokes.
Marty.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we do hear of a lineup change for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Out is Nick Robertson, in is Max Pacioretty. Not overly surprised, are we, JB?
Yeah, I'm overly surprised.
You are?
Really, really,
really
surprised. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I thought for sure David Camp would be the next man up.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a part of it for years. He's a center. He's makes $2.5 million. He played, 75 games this year, and he's not in. So, yeah, I thought he'd be next in. But if you're just going to change out one winger, put one winger in. Makes some sense.
What do you think?
Totally agree with what he said. I know that's not scintillating radio, but I just thought with some of the matchup stuff that you're going to have to deal with tonight, that it's going to be tougher just in terms of some of the defensive zone matchups that you have. Having an extra centerman that's good defensively, I thought would have made a lot of sense tonight, and putting patches in for his first game in this environment feels like a lot to ask, but we'll see. We'll see.
I like a bigger, heavier guy to go into game 3 in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think the Leafs have anyone in particular to match up against a Brady Tkachuk.
Mm-hmm.
Not many teams do. to be honest with you. And that's not necessarily the thinking, is that you need someone to match him, but you need somebody in going in Ottawa who can hit mm-hmm. back. And that's unfortunately not Nick. And if Nick's not showing signs of putting the puck in the net, which unfortunately hasn't happened for him yet, then you're better off taking the sure bet right now, and that is a Max Pacioretty. And there's guys that hit, but the Leafs do not have many guys that can hit to hurt. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this guy in the first half, in the first quarter of the season, he hits to hurt.
Look at these.
Okay, this will be an element that they'll need.
Yeah.
And well, I'm okay with Max Pacioretty coming in tonight.
You know, the thing is, too, is it's not like you're taking out Nick Robertson for a guy who, if the puck hits his stick, he's going to chip it in the corner.
Yeah.
Pacioretty can shoot it in the damn net.
Yeah.
Make no bones about it. And he's got a pretty good track record in the postseason of scoring goals, too. So I think for them, this is not a massive step down offensively, and it's a big step up physically. You go through this Leafs lineup, and now Ottawa has the last change. Austin Matthews, big guy. Nyes is big. You know, Pacioretty's big. McMahon, Lorenz. Yeah. Like, it's a big group there now, and I feel like it makes a lot of sense when you sit back and look at it.
Feels like this is, I mean, we laid out this exact scenario with Max Pacioretty early in the year that we talked about how, you know, you hope to get 35 regular season games out of him, and he comes into a playoff game, and he, in a 2-1 game, he has one of the goals and he hammers somebody.
Like, I feel like we laid this out.
Yes.
Dream scenario for his season with the Leafs.
Yes.
I did not see him on a PTO coming in and having that physical element that he showed us. And I think we all knew that, like, there's no sustainability over 82 games.
Yeah.
But if you could get this guy in a small window this time of year, healthy enough, and how long has he been off? Like, 2 months?
February 8th.
I think Luke Fox tweeted out, he hasn't played a hockey game in 75 days.
There.
Yeah.
I mean, so, well-rested, Max.
Yes. Well-rested.
No excuse to turn away from burying somebody tonight.
And he's coming off a tweak. You know, like, it's not like it happened in a game. Like, he just kind of tweaked something. So.
Okay, let's go to Max on his thoughts of jumping into this series, clip one on our Kippers Clippers.
Done it before. I was a little bit younger, though. But, you know, I feel confident. I'm ready to go. I've put in a lot of hard work. A lot of really good resources here we've spoken about time and time again to help you get up to speed without playing a game. And I feel like I'm ready to go.
I believe him. I mean, this guy's notorious for taking care of himself, working hard, putting in the work after injuries. You know, what kind of run could you get from him if you only give him 12, 13 minutes a night or something? I like this. You're up a couple of games. You got a chance to let him get his feet under him and found money.
What was the part that you didn't like? Just the mere fact that they're rolling right now on the wins?
That's what people will say, for sure. Don't mess with the winning lineup. Yeah. And that Robertson has been a dog on the puck pretty darn good. And it does feel like a guy who, if the puck comes to him, can shoot it in. But I think a lot of people just don't think you should change a winning lineup. And I am the opposite of that. I think you play whoever you think gives you the best chance to win every night.
I don't think, you know, I think it was nice to give Nick Robertson the first two. He deserved that down the stretch. Like, he played a ton because they were injured or whatever. He took advantage of his situation. He played well, and I think he deserved the first couple games. But he had one shot in two games. Like, I know he had an assist in the first game, but I don't know. Like, I didn't see enough to keep him in there. So I love that old school hockeyman Craig Berube didn't stick with the you can't change a winning lineup and actually made a significant change to the lineup.
And
I
how
like
fast?
It.
I mean, Pacioretty, good skater. Domi's fast. McMahon's fast. A couple of guys really big. A lot of guys can shoot it in. I actually really like the look of that line.
Okay, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on why he's bringing in Patches.
You know, a veteran guy coming into a game here. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough here. You know, it's their crowd and just wanted to make that change, get a veteran guy in there, bigger guy, heavier.
There you go. There's his breakdown.
That's it. It's not complicated with Berube ever.
No.
That's just fine. We might as well just finish off the Berube on Patches stuff and get clip two on how Patches handled the layoff.
Well, I mean, it's tough, for sure. But, you know, he's handled it fairly well. Things happen. You know, you can't control a lot of things that happen. I think he, you know, for sure he wanted to be in there and playing, but he's got the opportunity now. And, you know, to me, he's worked hard, kept a good attitude for the most part. It's not easy, especially for a guy, you know, he's been around a long time, veteran guy. It's always harder for those guys.
Can I tell you, I take away from that Pacioretty is a little bit perturbed at not being in sooner. You guys hear that at all?
How can you not, right?
Yeah.
How
good attitude for the most part.
And I think...
I didn't get that the first time I listened to it, but now that you mention it in that context, it does change the way I listen to that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Salary cap probably kept him out of the lineup from playing a couple of games too. And, you know, that's just that fine line where... Until we see him play tonight, whether or not if a 2 month layoff, 2.5 months, will play into tonight, or can he just have that veteran savvy that he can come in and still find a way to contribute or make it make one big play, one big hit that can alter tonight's, or just sit there and go, yeah, that stupid salary cap kept him from getting a couple of games in, and maybe that would have made a bigger difference on him. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
And you wonder individually, like, he doesn't seem like he wants to retire from the NHL. Like, he was very effective in the games he was in. I'm sure he would have liked the chance to play more, to show he could do more. Mm-hmm. I do agree that the cap probably kept him out towards the end of the year, and maybe he was frustrated by that, and so... Perhaps a little pushing from behind the scenes is part of the reason he's getting the nod over camp, that he's wanted to get work his way back in.
Yeah.
In which case, I say, great. Love a guy who wants to be in. No problem with that.
All right. So,
towels tonight in Ottawa, heart over hype. That's the rally towel.
Hmm.
What is that? Does that mean something?
Hype. Who's hype?
Are the Leafs the hype? Or,
I mean,
are people hyping them?
I do kind of feel like that's a perfect description of the series so far. Heart over hype. The Sens were a super high hype team coming into this. People thought they were going to upset them, and the Leafs have played with a ton of heart and won two games against them.
The Leafs are the heart team. That hasn't happened in a while.
I mean, it's crazy to say, but they have been.
Yeah.
I did not get that sense that a lot of people were picking Ottawa. Did you?
What? No. Yes.
Well, Sammy, you're a little different.
I mean, I just went and checked our Sportsnet picks. Multiple people picked the Sens. At least four people of all the people they did picked the Senators.
Sarah Valley did for 15. Sure.
Yeah, like people were picking the Sens. I mean, Sarah Valley, like,
yeah,
it was a sexy upset pick, no question.
It was.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything better than beating the Leafs?
All right. You know, better? I think in if you really put it in perspective, and we've talked about this, and we've had multiple experts guests come in and say that there's maybe 8, 10, 11 legitimate teams to win a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawa wasn't one of them.
Nope. I agree with that. No one, I didn't have them in that pocket of teams with a legitimate cup chance. Now, they could win this series, you win tonight, and all of a sudden it's 2-1.
Everybody's closing out a sweep.
Yeah.
So what's your point here?
My point is like you're super fan-ish, and not. I don't think...
They had hype?
I don't think the upset hype or the big sway of people believing that Ottawa.
I think this is revisionist.
I'm with Sam on that.
You are.
Yeah, people picked Ottawa to win this series for sure.
Man.
I would say
okay.
40% of people picked Ottawa. Is that, am I too high? Is that unreasonable?
I do think that in the ether, that Sens fans were confident because of the regular season record. They lost five games in a row to the Sens.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
I got to tell you, like,
I think it's playing out the way we probably would have expected it.
That I would have hoped. I didn't expect this.
The better team, the deeper team is up to nothing now. Who knows? This is professional sports at its finest,
and
right?
It's the Leafs.
And it's
the Leafs.
Stolar's looking great today. Who knows what tomorrow brings? Who knows what a key injury brings? Who knows if anybody steps up and becomes a hero for Ottawa? But, like, Ottawa's, they got to come out. They got to score a couple of goals early, I think, or get a lead for a change and play with the lead. Like a lot of things have to go right for Ottawa here to get themselves back in the game.
You know, one thing that's going to happen, I talked a little bit with Anthony Petrilli. He wrote some on like the line matchups. They'll probably try to get the Pinto line against Matthews to free up the Stützle line against Tavares, Nylander,
yeah,
would be my guess. So that's a bigger ask now for Tavares, Nylander, and Holmberg, is
yes.
it? Playing a pretty darn good line. You know, that Tkachuk, obviously, we know what he can do, and they control a lot of the play. And then can the Matthews line, you know, score on the Pinto line, dominate the Pinto line, and make them regret that matchup? I mean, I like Michael Amadio the way he's, you know, won his cup in Vegas, and he's become a good pro. But like Marner, Matthews, Nye should be able to handle that line,
yeah,
and make them regret a little bit the Stützle against Tavares.
Thing. So going on the road, what you're saying is could potentially free up the matchup a little bit for the Leafs instead of, yeah, sort of chasing it at home and chasing the Matthews versus Stützle line matchup, that it kind of frees them up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. But I also think that it's going to be a much bigger ask on the second line, which I think we've had concerns about in the past.
Yeah.
Holmberg there, probably the right answer.
Yeah.
If not McMahon at some point.
All right, let's go to the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs on his big line, Matthews, Marner. Nice.
Yeah, they're closer. I mean, you're obviously things like everybody else that you're looking at that they can do better. I mean, they're tough matchups with the Stützle line. You know, it's a good line. So I think they're doing a good job defensively and checking and doing a lot of good things. You know, you just got to keep going. You just got to keep working. I mean, goals will go in, but, you know, you want to score goals in the playoffs. It's about getting to the net more than anything. I mean, you're going to get opportunities for sure at times on broken plays and things like that, but get to the net. That's where the goals go in most of the time in the playoffs, the greasy goals around the net. But overall, I'm pleased with that line, the job they're doing. I'm not too worried about Matthews.
I love that line.
That's encouraging.
I would say that it's pretty awesome from a Leafs perspective that you're up 2-0 in the series and Matthews and Marner have combined for one goal.
They're
right?
5-5.
I think it's...
Yeah. They've spent a lot of time not in the offensive zone, though.
Right. No, it hasn't been awesome.
Right.
But that's, I think, to Sam's point, they're not far worse than the lines they're playing,
yeah,
right? We think at some point that should sort of stabilize. They should look like the line that we know they are. Hopefully that comes around for them here a little bit.
And a few offensive zone faceoffs.
I don't think they're going to get more. I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, not bringing no David Camp. I mean, it's going
to
be the same situation.
You don't want to put Tavares and Nylander there against
the
Stützle line.
But at the same time, these guys are some of the best offensive players in the world. I mean, you got to put them in. I get it if you get another 2-0 lead or you're up 3-1, mm-hmm, 4-1 as game one. But you can't just hold on. You can't just coach to protect or sit back. You got to play. You got to put these guys in a position to think, win a faceoff, get to the net in a split second, not go 200 feet to get back to the net.
But the problem is you haven't felt like a Domi Robertson line. You can't start them in the D zone at all.
No.
Although they did in overtime.
And they won.
But
it's a winning formula, Justin.
Yeah, but that is not something they want to do, right, Kip? I mean, that's not a trustworthy D line. Tavares, Nylander typically hasn't been one, particularly when Domi was on their wing. Mm. So you kind of run out of options at some point of who you feel comfortable doing it with.
Yeah,
and that's why you
does
David
Patch already change that a bit. Yeah, well.
And the other thing is, I know, can you have, you're comfortable now with Scott Laughton. So where's the room for Kempf? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Laughton can play wing, right? Like, I think you took Yarncroc out, made Kempf the centerman. You go Laughton, Lorenz on wings with Kempf.
I think if they have any issues tonight, I'm with you in game four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they would make that.
But I think that, to me, like, Pacioretty for Nick Robertson doesn't upset the apple cart much as
it's positional, one in, one out,
and Kempf. That is a major
fair.
That changes the rhythm, mm-hmm, up a lot more than just one guy in, one guy out for some size.
Yeah, it does. And you know, it's hard to find Domi's perfect spot. You know, and people hate to hear that because he scored the OT winner and he's whatever. But it's like you know, if you put him on the Tavares line, now you don't think you can start that line in the D zone. You can't put him on the fourth line because he's wasted there. It's tough, you know, so you got to find, how do you maximize everyone?
It is kind of funny, not funny, but I don't know what the word is, yeah. But like, this is a team that won the division.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we've never really felt like the lines were ever
2-0 in a series. We still have no idea.
2-0 in the series, right. And you're like, we're still looking for like that perfect feel of 12 forwards.
Yeah. No, it's you're right. It's fascinating. Maybe it's a good thing though that they have some flexibility. You know, like there are guys. Domi can play wing and center, and Lawton can play wing and center. Lorenz can actually play wing and center. You know, you have some options with some guys, and I think maybe that's why it's kind of challenging. Also an unwillingness to try things in the regular season, which I yelled about a lot.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything more on that? Because the Battle of Ontario, Sammy, is about to come out. I had to ask you guys a question.
All right. Let's have it.
So when I was younger, as a kid, I clearly had no exposure to...
Like 6 months ago when you were younger?
No, like when I was like in high school, when the first Battle of Ontario was happening.
A few years ago?
Yeah, like, you know, 5 years ago or so. But like, I didn't have the exposure to like takes about stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it was a better time.
What a better time. And like, I'm way too chronically online. So maybe people that are just like, you know, live their lives, just listen to us on the radio, watching us on YouTube, whatever, like download our podcast, aren't exposed to this. The pearl clutching about Anthony Stolarz and Ridly Greig has been out of control, boys. Oh my, have you ever watched, do you even like hockey? Like, yeah, oh, he slashed him.
Are you talking to Mark Lazarus?
I'm talking to I saw 100 bad tweets about it. I saw 100, like, give me a break. Cover another sport. Like, there's plenty of other sports that don't allow that.
I just saw the last tweet, and I like Laz a lot, but that's...
It's like, oh, my God.
Do I need to call you a whambulance?
Oh, basically, you know. And
I just...
It should be a suspension.
And it's like, I'm excluded from this.
The Sens fans. The Sens fans.
I can't comprehend those comments.
The Sens, like, way too much exposure to what these Sens fans... I'm like, oh, my God. You don't actually believe that. You can't be a fan of this game and believe what you're reading and writing.
But hold on. If Ullmark had done that to pick a guy, Domi.
Sure.
You'd be flipping out right now.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, yeah, it's a penalty. I'm upset that it wasn't Quincidental Miners.
You'd want 3 or 5 games, and they'd get nothing because it's the Leafs. That's
you
your
think
side.
You think that's what...
4 years I've done this.
Absolutely. I will tell you, there's definitely some truth to what you're saying.
I think Kit might be right.
But you're not going to... I'm not calling for a suspension for that. I don't want that out of the game.
Right.
When a guy who crashes into your knees the game before is in your blue paint, you're eligible to hack them. They can call a penalty on it. That's what makes hockey great.
What did I tell you in game one when Ridly cross-checked Tavares? Like,
you want
you don't,
that
you don't,
in the game.
If that's the way it is, then you just want that benefit to come back to you. And it did with Stolarz there. Mm-hmm. He got some licks in. But you know what? So did Ridly Greig on Tavares. Even up. Let's move on. That's the game.
Yes. You are a hockey man.
And you like hockey too.
I love hockey.
Just tell everybody that wants to change whatever they want to change the game.
I'm way too online. I read stuff. I open my phone and I read things that make me exceedingly mad all day long.
It's good for your brain.
Oh, really good. Yeah, for sure. There's nothing.
Constantly stimulate your fight or flight.
Holy crap.
All right, let's get head coach Travis Green's thoughts on returning home.
They're going to be excited. You're always excited in the playoffs when you play at home. You know, much like Toronto, you could tell there was a lot of juice in their game to start the game, and the crowd is loud. It's, you know, you grow up watching playoff hockey. It's fun, too. It's exciting, and that can't be forgotten. So I'm not worried about our guys embracing it. I think one thing is we got to make sure that we keep our emotional control, things that we've talked about since the start of the series. I thought we did a much better job in game two with our discipline. And, you know, it's been well documented. They got a good power play, and we've got to make sure that we don't take a lot of penalties.
Bueller. Bueller.
Someone's saying the Leafs have a good power play in the playoffs. That's... nice to hear. Or control our emotions. Yeah. Travis does it well.
It's not LA Kings, but it's good.
We should go soon because we have
Hold on. I'm so excited. You had a Mark Savard. Ruby comment on Mark Savard. I've not heard it.
Oh, it's very funny.
But I assume it's fun. And,
yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
Okay, let's have a listen.
Yeah.
Well, we ask the players to be composed, and we talk about it all the time, so that goes for us too.
Oh.
Sometimes it's difficult.
Hey, Mike, how about we chase cars, huh? Does that sound like fun?
Does that sound like fun?
That's such a chase cars.
It wouldn't be no fun.
I love Mark Savard.
That's funny.
Spike.
Well, we asked the players to be composed.
I know you don't care, but I just can't wait to see what the crowd's going to look like tonight. That's my number one most excited thing about this game.
Leaf fans.
No way.
No?
It's got to be. If they have any civic pride in Ottawa, it's got to be 80-20.
Setting them up to fail.
If they, like, if you're a season ticket holder and you sold to the Leafs for this game.
You sold out.
You don't get your season tickets for next year.
Yeah. For seasons the next year.
Yeah. Imagine you're like a season ticket holder and you sit in your section that you usually do and you get there and your buddy Johnny, you're like, Oh, no. It's a Leaf fan. Jersey. He's sold. No. Like,
oh,
he's
yeah.
so
should, like,
pissed.
To, he should be such a narc.
Mr. Anlauer. He'd be like the guy at the media conference yesterday.
Direct line to Anlauer.
No, he'd be like the guy at the media
Johnny
conference.
Sold his tickets. And we got to go.
Okay, we'll go. We'll go. And yep. Kevin Bieksa joins us after the break. We'll get into more thoughts on who he now considers the best sixth defenseman in the National Hockey
League. Oh, yeah. I like that line.
We'll tell you who he thought when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Busy night in the National Hockey League, helping us get ready.
Kevin, we got him in Leafs Hour.
Kevin Bieksa. No. This is National.
Leafs Hour?
Stuff.
That's what we're talking
this
about?
You're in the Leafs Hour.
Well,
right
we
now.
Couldn't squeeze you into the National Hour because you're like deep in meetings with
really
your
important
world secrets, eh? Yes. On it's like science stuff.
But they're
eh?
Optional for Elliot. but everyone else has
Does
to
Elliot
be there.
Still crawl in like 5 minutes before the show starts?
Yeah, Elliot's Elliot. He's not changing. So, you know, it's always a fight in the makeup chair. It's always a fight in the hair chair.
Yeah.
And I just go in there. I just sit down with my coffee and I just sit back and watch it. And I watch the arguing early. and the negotiations back and forth.
Well, hey, thanks for dropping by. Regardless, pleasure. Kevin Bieksa, former NHLer, Hockey Night in Canada. How surprised are you in terms of the Leafs being up to nothing and perhaps maybe still not seeing like the best side of them so far?
I think you look at the style that Craig Berube was brought in to implement, and it's being showed in the first two games. It's not the sexiest. It's not the flashiest. It doesn't create the most chances and shots on net, but it's effective, and it works. And if everybody buys in, they're a tough team to beat. So I think Ottawa was playing some really good hockey coming into this series, and they've kind of been stifled a bit. You know, you see five guys in the house. You see all 60 defending very well. Pretty simple with their breakouts, you know, just advance it and – you know, and then you need the big guns to score. So far for the Leafs, I think it's been exactly the recipe to success for them.
How do you like that, having elite talents, you know, like Matthews and Marner and Nylander and those guys, and having them be a dump-it-in, dump-it-out sort of team? You know, is that utilizing them properly, or is it really just the best thing for playoff hockey, keep it safe?
Well, I don't think Marner and Matthews are playing that way. I still think they're playing their game. I still think Nylander's doing his thing. I don't see them dumping the puck in any more than last resort like it would be in the regular season. I think you give those guys a bit of a leash. You have to. You give Tavares a little bit of a leash, but the rest of your team has to be predictable and get pucks in deep and play that zone game. But I still see the top guys making plays.
Yeah.
Now, you look on the other side of the equation in Ottawa, and I see Stützle running around. I see Stützle dumping every puck in, and it's just not his game, right? It's not where he's the most effective. He needs to skate the puck in. He needs to make plays. So there has to be a communication by the coaching staff. Like, don't completely change your game to a dump and chase guy in the playoffs because that's not exactly who you are. Yeah, there's a time to get the red line and get it deep and get a change when you're hemmed into your zone. But you still need to make plays. And I think Ottawa has to make a few more plays in the neutral zone. Certain guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, we know what line matching does this time of year. If you're Travis Green right now with Stützle at home, last change, how important is it to maybe get away from Austin Matthews?
Yeah, I think you want Pinto if you're Ottawa. Pinto at Matthews. Pinto's kind of taken that shutdown role, and he's done well with it this year. So you'll get that. I think it's pretty important. I think you chase it a bit. And talking with Newsy and Coach Lalonde, as Luke likes to call him, such a suck-up, Luke.
Oh, he really is. Yeah,
coach, like coach. So Newsy just wants to be one of the boys. So Newsy, what he says, it's a constant balance of how much do you chase that line matchup versus throwing everybody out of a rhythm. So I think you early on for sure you chase it a bit if you're Ottawa. You make sure you get Pintoed against him and you give Stützle and Brady a favorable matchup.
You know, it's been interesting because – you know, I'm thinking back to when your teams were really good and thinking of the intimidation factor. So Ridly Greig, Anthony Stolarz going at each other, kind of one of the stories of the series. And I think back to the old, like, Marchand on the Sedins and, like, that sort of moment. That felt similar to me, where how much do you want these guys to go back at the opposition when it's not their natural? Like, should Ridly Greig, should he be going back at Anthony Stolarz when he's getting those chops? Or teammates? How do you handle the other team trying to, you know, rough you up like
that? As long as you can do that stuff and not throw yourself off. Some guys just play better that way. You know, Max Lapierre played better that way. Burrows played better that way. Yeah. Some guys don't. Some guys get on tilt when they start doing that kind of stuff. Ridly Greig, he's got a little bit of rat in him, you know, the way he's played in the past and some of the things he's done. And I say that in a good way, yeah. Right? There's another guy on their team that's got some rat in him in a bad way. I think Ridly Greig has it in a good way. It's competitive, and he's kind of a thorn in the side. Now, I feel like Ottawa thinks that he's gotten, you know, a little bit of punishment that hasn't been called. So I know they think that, hey, like, he's going to the hard areas, but Stolarz shouldn't get three chops at him. He shouldn't get two cross checks, one, two, that one. And but this one right this here, one certainly them. After two,
Kevin,
like, that one hurts.
Listen, I think Ridly missed an opportunity to just pop him at that point. Then it's like...
And that I didn't see that one.
Right? I'm like...
That's a freebie for you.
It's absolutely a freebie. This is the one guy that's probably in your heads more than anyone else in the first two games. And you've got every excuse to pop him at that point.
Mm.
But, you know, Ridly, like a lot of other guys, little inexperienced this time of year. We know guys like Ridly can make a reputation and a career out of this time of year if to your point, you know, you can kind of... be in a space where you're not overextending yourself, but you're not shying away either. Like, there's a fine line. There's no going back for Ridly. He's got to go back to Stolarz.
What do you think Corey Burr's doing in that situation, right?
Totally. Like, yeah. He's falling on him.
Him and Jonathan Quick, like, he's the reason why LA didn't win more cups, because of him and Quick, and him on top of Quick and pretending to fall on
him.
If Quick chopped him, he'd turn around and he'd push him, like, you know, not very hard, but
right.
You know, like, you're right. Ridly, I agree with you.
Ridly can't back down now, or else you look like that you're either scared or intimidated by him. But, like, you're in it, Ridly. You're in it now. Now, don't take that penalty. It's the fine line. But this is what guys like you gain reputations on.
There's a like, people understand the game within the game, and the referees, like, when something like that happens, when the guy gets a three chops on you and it's not called, you get a freebie.
Yeah,
and the worst case is it's going to be evened up. The
exactly.
worst case. That's why, like, as a D-man, I loved it when the goalie covers the puck and a guy chops the goalie I know I get a free shot. As long as I don't go excessive and, like, hit him in the face with my stick, I know I get a pretty good lick. And the worst case, it's going to be 50-50. And we're both going to go to the box.
As someone that may have fallen on a goalie or two in my career... It's just not then between you and Stolarz. It's whoever else you suck in, mm-hmm. right? And who knows what the reaction would be from a teammate or an opposition player. Now someone gets another lick in. They're penalized. You're not. There's a better chance of still a power play off of it, not based on you and the goalie, but everybody else around you. Like, you want to pull people. This is what people talk about, drawing players in your teammates into the fight. And I think that's where Ottawa may have to go in game three.
And on home ice, maybe a little bit easier to do that.
Yes.
I think. Because, you know, like, the referees react to the crowd. And when the crowd's loud in certain situations, they're like, oh, my God, what happened? And you're going to get the right reactions at home versus in Toronto.
So as they make their adjustments, how personally do you take it? Do you take a matchup? Like if they say, we want to get you out there every shift against so-and-so, how personally do you take it about being in that person's ear, making sure they get nothing? Is that something that would have mattered to you like it might to Ottawa now that they have home ice?
So we were talking about this last night with Ovechkin because I had a couple hard matchups against Ovechkin where, you know, the coach would say, you're playing every single shift against him. I want you against him. And I remember, like, what do you think about Ovechkin? Should you let him sleep or should you go at him? Probably should let him sleep. Not really in my DNA. So I would go at him. And I would, like, chop him after the whistle. I'd push him. I'd cross-check him. He obviously wouldn't back down on five-on-five. He'd still run me and everything. But the one time I knew I got to him, it was the third period. There was, like, 10 minutes left. And he went out. I went out. And just before the puck was dropped, I saw him stand up and look around just to see if I was there. Yeah. And I was there. And I saw him. And I started smiling because I saw what he was doing. Yeah. And then he started smiling. And I'm like, he knows that I'm coming for him. He knows I'm not. So to answer your question, I think you take a ton of pride in that. Yeah. If you get a job, if Pinto gets a job and it's like, hey, if you shut down 34 and 16, we got a good chance to win this. As long as stay out of the box.
Go, buddy.
Yeah, so I want to elaborate on that a bit because we talked a bit about the way that Berube has used Marner and Matthews. Very defensive. They've actually had, what was it, 8 D-zone starts, only 3 in the O-zone.
Yeah.
Well, Nylander and Tavares the opposite. Do you like the idea of saying your best players, you're going to handle this defensive load, you're going to go against Stützle, you're our guys, and you got to figure out the offensive side of it as well? Mm. It's kind of a tough spot to put those guys in. No,
I think it's trust, though. I think as a coach, you probably trust 2 lines in your D zone, like really trust 2 lines. And I think Matthews is one of the best 3 zone players in the world.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you look at Eichel. Eichel probably would be the same. Like he's an unbelievable offensive player, 100 points. But you probably want him taking a lot of the defensive zone just for that reason. So, yeah, like, and then, you know, default, you have to put some other lines in the offensive faceoff, you know, because, but you're still, you trust Matthews is so good in both ends. I think that's why you're seeing him more.
Pretty,
and you're seeing him on the PK as well.
Pretty easy, though, when you're up 2-0 in the first 5 minutes of the game. If the Leafs chase at any point, they got to start pushing the pace of play in the offensive zone, though. That's where Berube's got to push him a little harder here.
For sure. Yeah, and he will. I think he will. You'll see, like, if they're down, that you'll see Nylander or Marner or Matthews. You'll see one of them or all 3 out, yeah. Or Tavares because he wins every faceoff. That's important.
What do you expect out of Brady Tkachuk coming down? He's the captain. They're at home. They're down 2-0. How hard does he have to push the envelope?
I think you see him physical early to get the crowd into it. I think you see him, though. Maybe you see a couple more scrums out of him. There hasn't been many scrums, but maybe he feels like he needs to get that out of the crowd and out of his teammates. I think you see him around the net a lot, obviously, and he's a pretty clutch guy. I think you see a lot out of him tonight. I think you see him protecting pucks down low. That's the one thing for Ottawa. Like, they've done a good job once they get in zone and get the puck back. They've done a good job of protecting it and having some zone time.
I should ask you about that because that's the one thing watching the panel I know that Leafs fans were upset about is that, the one thing.
Yeah.
Leafs win the game, and, you know, you guys talked about how Ottawa controlled the play, the run of play at 5-on-5.
Numbers.
Which numbers, and they absolutely did. You know, how much does a team sit back once you're ahead, protecting the lead? How much do you attribute Ottawa's play in those moments to the Leafs saying, we're the team ahead, who, you know, we don't want to push it, we're not trying to score anymore, essentially.
Yeah, it's a combination. I think, it starts in the offensive zone. So when you're up by a couple goals, F3 is a little bit more passive. Your D, when, you know, sometimes your D are making the walls hard, they're probably not going. And you're just living another day. You're backing up in your three-man wedge as opposed to maybe making that line hard and keeping it in. So then it trickles down. So then they get the red line, they dump it in, and so and so and so. So, but I mean, I still think, like, yeah, they're up 2-0, but Ottawa's still a good team. Like, it's an even series, right? Ottawa could still easily get back into the series with a couple wins. So there has to be a little bit of respect there for the Leafs. Like, they're not just going to dominate and walk all over Ottawa. Like, be happy winning the 2 games. Be happy that your power play is on fire, right? Like, but if you want to dominate every facet of the game, it's not there yet. No. And it doesn't have to be. You just have to win 4 games.
I got to ask you about Allmark. A couple days ago, we were talking about him, and I said, if this guy was my goalie, he'd drive me nuts, you know, because he's a very talented guy, and we've seen so many sides of him in this season alone. We've seen him really, really good. We've seen him at times not great, and then at times disappear for an injury. And pressure now to come in on a game three. I think he got better. Obviously, he played a lot better in game two, no question. But, you know, you played with Luongo and, you know, compare that intensity, or if he had a bad night, giving up six like Ullmark did in game one, like the response of him or his demeanor. I just listened to him after game one, like it was a walk in the park, bud, and you weren't very good. I mean, what's this guy got to do to prove to people that he's worthy of $8.25 million a year?
I don't overthink goalies. I'm not a goalie expert. I just say stop the puck. You have one job. Just stop the puck. I don't care how weird you are. I don't care what your work ethic is or habits. Obviously, they matter. But you mentioned Luongo. I also played with Jacob Markstrom earlier in his career. I played with John Gibson and Freddie Anderson. So four of those goalies, all completely different personalities. Mm-hmm. Gibson was another guy that was kind of like, you know, easygoing and like maybe didn't work the hardest in practice, but then he'd have an unbelievable game. So I don't know what the correlation is. Like goalies are just weird, man. Like you, at the end of the day, they are. Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, yeah, like his demeanor's different and he's like, he's a really nice guy, Ullmark, right? And he's, you know, he's making light of it after the game. Like Stuart Skinner was laughing after, you know, when it was 6-2 last night. You know, like goalies are weird. Like they got a lot going on. Yeah. So like I don't try to understand them, right? I just say, hey, just stop the puck. Like, give us a chance to win tonight. I don't care how worried you are, but just stop more pucks tonight.
Yeah. I mean, that's all you can do, I guess. It is a confounding. I don't know. He's a little too casual in those interviews for Kip's liking.
Good luck trying to make sense of that, though. Like, yeah. Goalies and that.
Doesn't mean anything. The big change the Leafs are making is bringing in Max Pacioretty. Hasn't played since February 8th. Robertson coming out. How do you feel about that?
I think they're just trying to get more guys involved because they think it's going to be a longer run.
Yeah.
Robertson hasn't played bad.
Been fine.
He's been okay. McMahon's been okay. You know, there's a couple guys that you can kind of, you know, if you want to add guys in, but I think that's more of, we know we're going to need more guys as we get deeper into this thing, and you can't let Pacioretty sit there too long.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's as much of a slight on Robertson as it is. We just got to get more guys, like, not sitting for 2 weeks at a time.
Are you surprised how physical he showed us he could get earlier in this season?
Robertson?
Like, no, Max.
Yes.
Pacioretty. Like, we know when guys are trying to check you to get the puck, and then we also know when guys are trying to hurt you. Like, this guy hurt a lot of people earlier on in the season, which I didn't see coming at all.
Well, you're not in the league anymore. I'm not in the league anymore. There's a lot of guys that aren't in the league. It's easy. Like, I played against Pacioretty for the first 10 years. He wasn't doing that.
No. wouldn't even recognize that guy.
I just don't know why you wouldn't do it today, because there's usually no repercussions to doing that stuff. He's a big guy. He's strong. He skates pretty well still. Why wouldn't you run around today? Like, you don't have to fight anyone in retaliation if you don't want to. We know that. And it's super effective. The way Brady plays, Tom Wilson, they obviously fight a little bit more. But it's super effective. Like, you're hurting guys.
But some guys refuse to do it.
I know. It's amazing.
Right?
It's amazing.
Refuse. It's kids, like, you can make a lot more money. You can make a lot more money.
Like, what do you think of the evolution of some of these guys? So, Pacioretty's one, but Corey Perry became a fourth-line grinder after winning a Hart Trophy. Spezza came here in Toronto and played fourth line. I mean, Thornton tried to do it a little bit.
He was always a prick.
But these elite guys, Spezza?
No, Perry.
Oh, Perry. Perry and Thornton always had that as part of their game.
Thornton always had that.
Never.
So you're not surprised?
They just picked their spots a lot more when you're scoring 40 and 50 goals.
You have it or you don't. Like, if it has to be drawn out of you or pulled out of you or forced out of you, it's not going to last.
I thought that was part of Thornton's reputation as a younger guy, was that he was too laid back, too casual.
He was, but he also still fought, and he had it in him, but it had to be dragged out of him. But I think it was there where some guys just don't have it, and some kids just don't have it in minor hockey. You're like, man, if you could just play a little stiffer, you'd be a hell of a player, and kids just don't get it.
So one of the things that we saw in game two, it was well documented outside of Max shooting in the net, was Simone Benoit stepping up, not only intercepting the pass, but making a brilliant play, which you called the best sixth defenseman in the history of the game.
No.
Ever. Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Can you get in the Hall of Fame as a 60?
But, like, that's a play that you would expect from Morgan Rielly, not Benoit. Like it was a big time play.
I've seen his evolution. He was in Anaheim at the end of my career, so I kind of overlap with him just a little bit. Talked to him a little bit. I remember talking about the golf tournament, and he's like, I'm going to do that Superman punch one day. And I'm like,
oh, really? That was actually part
that
of
that was
like...
probably 5 years ago.
And he
goes, I really like that Superman punch. I'm going to do it one day. Then he steps up to the tee and just smashes a drive 330. I'm like, geez, this guy's aggressive,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I wasn't surprised when I saw him try it.
That's
But I think he's one of those guys, and I'm going to do a little thing on him tonight. Like, he had to earn everything. Like, try out at ID rookie ID camp, try out at main camp, try out to get an AHL spot, try out to get an NHL spot. So he's had to earn everything. And some guys just get better. They just keep getting better. They keep figuring out the nuances of the position. They keep getting their skill set better, their reads. And some guys are up and down. Some guys are up and then way down. He just keeps chipping away.
Yeah.
He just keeps getting better and better. And as hockey guys, we love that. We love when a guy earns it and gets recognition for it. He wouldn't get that recognition in Anaheim. If he was still in Anaheim as a 6D making those plays, like he went into the corner once against Brady, and it was like one little bump and got the puck off him. I'm like, wow, like that is invaluable. That your 6D can go out against their number one power forward
play
and take the puck off him like that, no zone time out of the zone.
They didn't think he was tough in Anaheim at all.
Benoit.
He's tough, and
no,
I think
he hits hard too.
Yeah. He's your perfect mold for a 6D. Like, is he going to throw a pizza up the middle once in a while? Maybe, right? But he's physical. He wins more than 50% of his battles. He's high percentage. Like, I love the way he plays.
So you've been, your son is playing now, and you've been coaching a little bit, I think.
A lot of it. Yeah, I was all in, bud.
Yeah. So
all
you're all in
video
coaching there. And so now it's
you're
funny.
A crazy dad then too.
Because you're
I look at all the kids as my kids. You can ask my kids. I never coached my son. He was a player.
Yeah.
Everyone was the same, but I'm done now. I retired.
So
my coaching hat.
Want to be done, like with coaching?
I think I had a group. I had a group for about 5-6 years. Yeah. Same core, and now they're all moving on to junior. I have like 8 of them that are already committed to AJ, BCHL, WHL. So I'm going to just take a step back now because I was so dedicated to this one group and I loved it. But now it's like, how do you just take all that love and work and just give it to a new set of kids that you don't know? So I'm going to take a bit here.
If we have time, on the panel the other day, you guys talked about Laine and not putting him out in the final minute. You and Elliot, I thought it was a really good conversation. You guys, you know, surrounded the conversation well about should he be out there. He had been a dog, but he can shoot it in the net. You know, there's so many different elements to that coaching. Do you like the X's and O's part or the personality management part?
Both.
Yeah.
I love both.
Yeah.
I love special teams. I love face-off plays, first and foremost. I love structure plays. Mm. But then I love the relationships and the communication because I feel like as the good coaches I've had, they can get through to me. And some of the coaches, I'm thinking of like this one guy right away. Like, I didn't care what he said. I wasn't listening to this guy because I hated his delivery. I hated his body language. So I think with the Laine thing, it doesn't have to be a big deal to Laine if it's handled the right way. If Marty goes and talks to him today and says, hey, man, like, you just weren't going. You know, like, it's just one of those that you're still a big part of our team. You're still one of the best flank guys. Like, fluff him a bit. Like, you're still one of the best flank guys in the league. You know, you got a great shot. We're going to need you. You're a huge part. But you just weren't going. So, you know, I went with a couple other guys, but not – like, that's the way it should be handled.
Yeah.
And then Laine will be like, okay, like, I'm still a stick player. You know, it's just one game. Because you should be able to bench, and Newsy was talking about benching Kucherov back after he won the Hart. It shouldn't be a big deal to bench your top guy if he's just not going. Some nights you just don't have it.
God, I love that.
One period.
At least Berube didn't.
No, I know. We argue about it all the time, though. I feel
But it's
like...
got to get bad, though. Like, I think it has to be really bad to bench your star. And Laine, you can disagree with me, it was getting really bad.
Yeah.
Where he couldn't go a shift without a turnover.
So quickly, we know how you feel about Benoit's ranking. Where would you rank Elliot on being the fourth best analyst on any panel? Where would you rank him? Like
fourth best on any panel?
Yeah, would he make your top four best on any panel?
By a sliver. If there is four panelists, yeah, by a sliver.
Can you just get him to do his nod up a little bit for me, please?
I don't get involved in the wardrobe. There's enough people, Deb and Fabian, and
control.
There's we have three people that come in for wardrobe, and it's not for me.
He is Kevin Bieksa, and you're going to get your fill of him tonight on Hockey Night in Canada.
Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
All right. We're back national next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.